Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 67. Today's date, July 8th. Today, we get into four topics. Number one, DeMar DeRozan's time in Chicago is done as he's been traded in a signing trade to the Sacramento Kings. We'll talk about the impact of DeMar DeRozan heading out west, what's it mean for Sacramento, and what's it mean for the rebuilding Bulls. Next, Franz Wagner signed a five-year, $224 million extension with the Orlando Magic. We'll talk about Orlando, who also picked up KCP in free agency. Are the Magic a top four or top five team in an Eastern Conference that's secretly getting better? Next, Miles Bridges, after all his legal woes in the past, has signed a three-year, $75 million contract to return to Charlotte, a Charlotte team that continues to rebuild. You know, there may have not been a market for him. So we'll get into Charlotte long-term. Can that front court of Miles Bridges and Brandon Miller, along with LaMelo Ball, be something in Buzz City? And lastly, off of her historic triple-double versus New York Liberty, we'll talk a little bit about Caitlin Clark because she's the one that moves the needle more than anything else. And we'll kind of get into, will the Fever make the playoffs? And more importantly, can they scare someone in the first round? Welcome to today's podcast, and let's get started. Now that we're in a week into free agency, we're going to see moves trickle in here and there. But the biggest name that was left in free agency going into the weekend finally came off the board as DeMar DeRozan agreed to a three-year, $74 million sign-and-trade deal with the Sacramento Kings. And if you really want to peel this back and look at it, DeMar DeRozan, for all that he's been in his career, has been a fantastic scorer. He's been able to score the ball and score the ball at will and really is one of the better one-on-one players in regards to the fact that he can create off the bounce. When you look at a guy like DeMar, how does he help a team like Sacramento, right? It's his ability, like I said, to make shots. It's his ability to do things at, even at the age of 34 that are pretty impressive. Folks, you got to think about DeMar DeRozan. Since going to Chicago, the 3 years he went to Chicago, 27.9, 24.5, 24. Those are outstanding numbers, and those 3 years at 27.9, 24.5, and 24 are the best years of his career, except for going for 27.3 in 16-17. So it's been a really good run for DeMar as someone that is a 21.2 points per game scorer is going to benefit them. So when you start peeling back, and I obviously you guys know I use synergy a lot because that's what we do as college coaches and NBA coaches. Well, what makes it so important for him that he's so effective? Number one, he's in the 92nd percentile at points per possession in the pick and roll as a ball handler, which means when he's got the ball in his hands and he can create, he can score and score with a high degree. Remember, folks, 37% of his time, he was in pick and roll situations as the ball handler. What's third? Isolation, 86th percentile, right? 15% of the time. So one-on-one, can he get you a shot? And I think that is something that is really important to me because it shows his ability to be creative when the ball is in his hands. Well, while that is really good, what is suspect is the fact that when he is in spot-up situations, spot-up, catch and shoot the ball, he's at 50% of the time. Now, to me, that puts him in the middle, obviously, but then you got to peel it back. For a jump shot for DeMar, he's in a 35th percentile. Catch and shoot, 36th percentile. You know, his dribble jumper and his early jumper is pretty good. But then you go down to the three-point line. DeMar DeRozan is one of the better mid-range players in this league. So when you shoot it from three, which only 1% of the time he shot it from three, all of his points per possession, he's only in the 41st percentile in 3-point points per possession. And if you really look over the course of his career, last year was the second most threes he's attempted per game in his career. He attempted 2.8. Folks, he's only shot 33.3%. He's a 29.6% shooter in the history of his career from three. So there are things that DeMar has got to do better for Sacramento. Now, if they're going to use him in a pick-and-roll game as a handler, yeah, he's going to be great. If they run isolated some plays for him, it's going to be great. But if you're expecting him to catch and shoot and knock down jumpers, especially from three, it's never been his game. It's never been his strong suit. It's actually one of his weaker part of his game. And the reason why I go back and forth with this, even though our team and I love in Sacramento, is the guy he's replacing is Harrison Barnes, which is perfect for what they need. Why? 78th percentile in points per possession and three-pointers. Spot-up shooting, 75th percentile. 41.2% of the time, Harrison Barnes was a catch-and-shoot shooter. So does Mike Brown adjust his offense for DeMar DeRozan? Does DeMar change his game a little bit? Because you could argue the best player in that team is De'Aaron Fox. The second best player is Domantas Sabonis, who are absolute studs. You bring back Malik Monk, who signed a four-year deal. Kevin Huerter is back. Keegan Murray took at times big steps. So to me, I think DeMar may have to change his game a little bit and be more of a shooter, which he's not proven to be as long in his career, if he's going to be the best version of what Sacramento needs. I'm still high on him, folks. I still think that they're going to win the division, but he's got to make some changes to his game. Let's move on to the Magic Kingdom and Franz Wagner, who signed a massive 5-year, $224 million contract extension to stay with the Magic. And when you think about Franz, obviously year in, year out, he seems to get better. And this is a team that, let's be honest, overachieved last year, getting themselves in the 4-5 game and losing in 7 games to Cleveland. But when you really look at this player, and Franz Wagner, I love his toughness. I love his ability to try to take people off the bounce. I don't think he's ever going to be someone that's going to be mistaken for a burner or a freakishly athletic. But he can do some things. Now, when you look at his performance during the year, 19.7, 5.3, 3.4. Great. Love it. But his first full season, he struggled. He only shot the ball 40.8% of the floor as opposed to 48.2. He shot it worse, 26.5 from three than it was 28.1. Neither one is good. Now, he did rebound the ball and he did get a little bit more assists, but he also played 5 more minutes a game. So Franz, along with this Magic team, have to do, this is a pivotal year, right? Because they obviously had an overachieving year. And they brought in KCP, which is very intriguing to me because of the fact that he is a really good shooter. 40% from three, I do believe, the last couple of years. But when you peel it back, their spot-up shooting is god-awful. They were in a 30th percentile as a team in spot-up shooting. So many teams run the pick-and-roll. They're in 13th percentile in pick-and-roll handler keeping the ball. They weren't good in transition. So offensively, this team struggled. But defensively, they were awesome. 93rd percentile defending spot-ups. right? If you want to look at overall at points per possession defense, you know, overall in the half court, they were in the 90th percentile. They gave up less than 1 point per possession in the half court, right? They put them a team in, I do believe, in the top 10 or just outside of the top 10 in regards to defending in the half court. So to me, yes, they are good. And Franz had a great year. My challenge to Orlando is, where do you go from here? What is their ceiling? Well, you look at East, Boston, better. New York, better. Philadelphia, better. If Milwaukee can stay healthy, better. Cleveland, intriguing. So I do think they get a step up in coaching with Kenny Atkinson. So where does that leave Orlando? A promising team that needs to shoot the ball better, particularly from three. And one of them that has to do it is the one that just got a 5-year, $224 million contract extension in Franz Wagner. If he's able to shoot better, if KCP can shoot at 40% from three again, if they can get more from the three-point line, along with their defense, Orlando could be a top four or five team in the East. Personally, I just don't see it. And by the way, I mentioned all those teams. I didn't even mention the team that faced Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's the Indiana Pacers, who will get a full year out of Pascal Siakam. Let's move on to Buzz City, where the Charlotte Hornets have agreed to a 3-year, $75 million contract with Miles Bridges. A Miles Bridges that unfortunately had some run-ins with the law, missed some games to end his suspension that carried over from last year. But this is an uberly talented player who before last year, the 21-22 season, and 23-24, had scored over 20 points a game, who got you over 7 rebounds a game, who got you nearly 4 assists a game. We're not talking about a stud here in Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges, first things first, is an absolute freak of nature. No way to go around it and say it. Miles Bridges is a stud. But the first thing is he's got to make sure that his situation is better. But when he's right, it's pretty darn good. Now, he's got to improve his shooting. He's only in a 44th percentile in jump shots last year. Getting to the rim, look out below. Gets most of his shots in spot up. A little bit better. It's great in transition. Not a great ISO defender. ISO ball handler, I should say. So when you look at Charlotte, what do we see? Can this team stay healthy? Can they stay healthy? You look at a guy like LaMelo Ball. 22 games last year. Look at LaMelo Ball. 36 games the year before. Uber talented. God, probably one of the best. If LaMelo Ball played 82 games a year, you may call him one of the top 25 players in the world. You know, what's that phrase? The best kind of ability is dependability. Misses a lot of time. Brandon Miller showed up, showed out. You know, you keep talking about Wemby and Chet. Brandon Miller secretly 17.3 points per game, 44% from the floor, 37% from three, 4.3 rebounds. So you're cooking with something there, right? You look at Mark Williams, center, averaged nearly a double-double a game at 12.7, 9.7. You go get Tijan Salam, sixth in the draft, maybe a little bit too high. We already talked about it. You get Reggie Jackson in a trade to fortify your bench. You know, you get a guy like a Trey Mann who scores last year nearly 9.4 points per game. Come over from Oklahoma City in the trade mid-year. So they got pieces. The question is, can they develop? Can they defend? And is Charles Lee the right guy to lead them? I'm really happy to see a guy like Charles Lee get his shot. You could argue he should have got his shot with Milwaukee when they fired Bud. But they did what they did with Adrian Griffin. He went on to coach at Boston, got a ring, and now he's there. Buzz City, folks, it can't get worse. It can only get better in Buzz City. If Miles Bridges can stay healthy and stay out of trouble with the law, if LaMelo Ball can stay healthy, if Brandon Miller can take the next step, if Mark Williams can be a double-double guy, Charlotte's going to be better. So let's be honest, they can't be worse. Let's end today's podcast talking about Caitlin Clark and her fantastic 19-point, 12-rebound, 13-assist performance versus New York Liberty in a 93-88 game on Saturday, becoming the first player in league history as a rookie to record a triple-double. Let me just say this. This is the best version of Caitlin for this organization. Let me explain. Caitlin can do a lot of things, but if she is asked to score you 25 points a game, that's not the best version of that team. The best version is when she's spraying the ball around. I want you to think about this for a second. I want people to think about this. Caitlin Clark, in her career, only has two games that she scored over 25 points. One was an 85-83 win over Boston. The other was an 88-82 loss. But when Caitlin gets in that sweet spot, 15 to 17 points, but to me, when she gets you somewhere around 17 rebounds plus assists, that's when she's cooking. And for a team that looks like they've won 6 out of the last 9 games, now they find themselves in the playoff hunt. Sitting right now in 7th place. Make sure, folks, you understand, okay? I'm going to explain this, so make sure we know, because I think people get confused. The top 8 teams make it to the WNBA playoffs. So right now, Indiana, with 9 wins, is 2 wins clear of 9th place Atlanta Dream, who have injury concerns with Ryan Howard, their star second-year player. Los Angeles Sparks, forget about it. They're 5-16. They're 1-9 in their last 10. Cameron Brink is out. They're going nowhere. Washington Mystics are 5-5 in their last 10, and they still only got 5 wins because they started the season 0-12. They're not going to make a playoff run. Dallas, 5-17, 2-8. They're in trouble. So can Indiana make the playoffs? They better. Because right now the odds are minus 850. The only way this could happen is if Indiana gets healthy and they go on a run. This is an Indiana Fever, folks. Atlanta Dream Team, I should say, folks, that is 2-8 in their last 10 games. They have spiraled downhill. But when you look at the schedule coming up, they got to go. We're going to talk. They'll play Wednesday night against Washington versus Phoenix at Minnesota, at Dallas before the Olympic break. Right? They don't play New York the rest of the season. They got to play Vegas twice, both at home. They got to play Minnesota twice, one at home, one on the road. But the rest of the year, they play Washington twice. They're not good. They play Phoenix twice. I think a team they could compete with. They play Dallas three times. They're not good. And they still have to play a game versus Sparks at home. They should make the playoffs. And I'm going to say this right now. What a boom. What a boom for the WNBA if both Indiana and Chicago can make the playoffs. Because let's be honest, folks. It's Caitlin Clark and everybody else. But Angel Reese has done a hell of a job these last couple of weeks in regards to moving the market, in regards to becoming closer. I think she's probably plus 300 or so to win Rookie of the Year. It's best for business that those two teams make it. Will they both make it? Yes. But it has more to do with the fact of the three teams that are not really good at all in Dallas, Washington, and the Sparks, and an Atlanta Dream Team without Ryan Howard that's spiraling out of control. If they can get those two teams, Indiana and Chicago, that's going to be a major boom for ratings. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for July 8th. For all things sports gambling, download that SportsGrid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be later this week. We'll talk a little bit more about the Olympics, get more into Summer League. From my producer, Matty George, Vinny, who does a great job with the graphics. Thanks for listening, folks. It's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Good night.